Welcome to another JPR Live session. I'm your host, Danielle Kelly, coming to you from the Steve Nelson Performance Studio. These are sessions where we get to chat with artists we admire, in-person conversations, and one-of-a-kind studio performances. This is a unique session, and it's sort of a double feature of sorts. We've just discovered these artists on tour by way of local filmmaker Gary Lundgren, bringing their music to our attention and facilitating a show here in Ashland tonight at the Ashland Unitarian Fellowship Hall. We have Advanced Bass, the melodic soft rock recording project of Chicago, Illinois-based singer-songwriter Owen Ashworth. He's got an arsenal of electric piano, Omnicore, which we're going to have to talk about a little more in depth later, samples, effect pedals, and drum machines, a really warm electronic sound. And joining Advanced Bass on tour and in the studio today is singer-songwriter-instrumentalist Karima Walker, artist out of Arizona. Karima's latest release, 2021's Waking the Dreaming Body, was featured on several best album lists in 2023. And like I said, the two are playing this evening in Ashland at the Ashland Unitarian Fellowship Hall, 7 o'clock. You can find tickets for the show at bandsintown.com. This JPR Live session is made possible with the support of the Talent Club in downtown Talent, Oregon. I love kicking these sessions off with a song. Karima, since you're opening the show tonight, would you mind starting out a song for us?
I'd love to. Yeah. This is a newer one, not yet titled.
A debut.
A radio debut. The tide is rising, the moon is shining, verdant, still and blooming alone. Clear as a bell, I hear singing in the night's grace, and warning you what's ringing in me is ringing in you. Open, feeding fire and the good life, casting clouds, making a home. The walls are rising stone by stone. Sun-dried clay, brittle and dappled, sharp as grief and bone white, and warning you what's ringing in me is ringing in you. Door is open, feeding fire and the good life,
that is Karima Walker live at Jefferson Public Radio, an untitled song from the next release, I imagine.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Thank you.
Thanks.
It's great to have you both in here. Thanks for coming in. I know a tour can be crazy, so thanks for coming and making time before your show. Karima, just wanted to chat with you a little bit, and then we'll chat with you, Owen. Tucson's Arizona is home for you, yeah?
Yes, it is.
Is that where you were born and raised?
No, I'm born in Southern California and then grew up in Tucson. So definitely my hometown, but yeah.
And now I understand you're primarily a musician, but you're an interdisciplinary artist. And I've read that you collaborate with dancers, sculptors, cinematographers, photographers, and even creative nonfiction writers. And so that sounded like a really wild list of conglomerate of things. I was wondering how you can, if you could explain how you blend those modes.
That's a good question. I think, I don't know. I sometimes like don't feel like I identify well as a musician because I'm not like a shredder. But I like sort of working with ideas and then they kind of come out in a bunch of different ways. So it feels like the idea can come out in song. It can come out in something more relational and collaborative. It can come out through, a lot of it comes out through just where I'm from and being in the desert, being, you know, like in a lot of ways, a border town, being, you know, situated in this place with a lot of history and mythology. And that is a very kind of rich place from which things sort of flow into all these different mediums. Yeah.
Can you give us an example of some of the collaborations mixing those modes of creativity?
Yeah. Let's see. So there was one piece I worked on with my partner who is a nonfiction writer, and he wrote an essay that he read and delivered at the Parsons Lodge in Yosemite National Park. And alongside that essay, I had compiled a bunch of family archival photographs around different kind of notable sites within the park taken back in the 70s, and then built this like collage video. I typically would have be touring with video projections, which wouldn't suit radio super well. but in that case, that was video alongside his like reading this essay as like sort of a performance, sort of like a talk, and pulling from like archive, pulling, you know, and thinking a lot about, you know, national parks as these, you know, trying to unpack like what wilderness is and how that idea has been constructed historically. Through like familial return to places, but also through like policy and recreation and conservation. So that's one version of it.
It was an extensive list of different modes of creativity that you partake in. Do you create art every day? Is that like a daily, weekly thing for you? Is that sort of your mission in life?
I haven't had like a very rigorous making schedule built into my life. But right now I'm actually in school. So I'm getting an MFA. I'm studying art, which is like so nice to, it's such a treat to do that older, like later in life. So I am making art every day and it's very much kind of built into my schedule. And it's great. I feel like I'm building up like art making muscles in school. So maybe when I leave, if you ask me in a few years, maybe I'll be sticking to something more rigorous, but typically it's been like very fluid and I've tried not to kind of be too like structured about it, but I do appreciate some of the discipline I'm getting from school. So yeah.
I read that the Waking the Dreaming Body album that you released in 2021, mm-hmm. I think in 23, got put on a number of best album lists, and I wondered as an indie artist or just for you, like what does that mean, or what does that do for a musician, or what does that mean for you?
That's a really good question. I think that
like does it change real the work talk. Going okay. forward, or like the trajectory yeah. of what you're doing? Yeah.
I think that for a lot of people, touring, making music as like a working class artist is really hard. And so oftentimes things like exposure can represent the possibility of more support, or like the possibility of making your work more sustainable. So there is sort of like a material reality and thinking about like, oh wow, like all these people are going to hear about my music. And so there's sort of the hard reality of like, oh, is this going to help in some way? But then like, there are so many talented writers and people who are so thoughtful and love music in a way that kind of blows my mind. And so when you, depending on like where, what that's coming in as, like you'll have someone who's just like a super gifted listener and writer who is reflecting back to you parts of your work in a way that can be really moving. And that is like a total privilege to kind of have your work held in that way and articulated in that way. So it does a lot of things. And sometimes I just like don't look at it because I think that sometimes opening yourself to everything can feel like like you have to sort of protect yourself sometimes from like everything coming in. But it's a real honor to have people listening and sharing and like deciding that they want to tell people about what you do.
Well, on that note, what is a way that our listeners can find out more about you? Where is the place that you would direct them to see more of your work or just simply listen to your music?
We can come to this show tonight if you wanted to hear it live.
Yes, again, that's tonight, Ashland Fellowship, 7 o'clock, bandsintown.com.
Mm-hmm. We could say hi and talk. I'm on some social media. I'm on Instagram, and I try to keep that updated with tour dates and stuff. My website, kramawalker.com, and then also through Arundel, the label that Owen runs. That's where a lot of release news happens for whenever my next record comes out. It'll be through there. So
fabulous.
Yeah.
And if you're just tuning in, this session is unique in that we have two different artists here. We've got Karima Walker, who we've just been chatting with. And also in the studio is Owen Ashworth, a.k.a. Advance Bass. Hey, how's it going, Owen?
Great.
I haven't had a second to say hello to you properly there. Owen is standing in front of a pile of gear, some cool keyboards, and in his arsenal, if you read about Owen, you will be promised an Omnicord. And for simplicity's sake, he mentioned we're not going to maybe play one in this session today. So there's another incentive to go to the show tonight. So here's some Omnicord, but it's just too cool. We'll get to that. I'm so excited. I'm getting ahead of myself. Could you maybe explain the significance or the meaning behind Advance Bass?
Oh, the name?
Yeah.
Yes. The name was taken from a book by Admiral Richard E. Byrd, who was an earlier explorer of Antarctica, and in the 1930s he manned a meteorological station in Antarctica called Advance Base, where he was doing some star charting. He was isolated. He was living alone through a polar winter and realized his only source of heat was leaking and poisoning him. And he spent a summer, or polar winter rather, just kind of riding the line between staying warm enough to survive while, you know, hallucinating and sort of
and
barely
not poisoning himself to death.
Yeah. And he had this incredible kind of like spiritual epiphany and wrote this beautiful memoir about the time, this book called Alone by Richard E. Byrd, which was like, it changed my life. It was a really meaningful book for me. It's a really beautiful, positive message in the book and under harrowing circumstances. So as someone who maybe foolishly decided to start a band by himself and attempt to do the work of several people on my own, I kind of took Advance Bass as the moniker for the music. Also started this music project in the winter of 2006 in Chicago in a poorly heated little rehearsal room. That the room became Advance Bass to me, and that sort of became the name of the music project.
It sounds really fitting, and I've read the descriptor a couple times about your music being depressing and weirdly uplifting.
Yeah,
that seems really fitting.
That was a quote from someone who came to see me at a show, and like, yeah,
<That's> awesome. Well, can we start off with one of your songs here too? Give
sure.
Listeners a sense.
Yeah, this is a new song. Right now, it's called Melody's Tooth. It's a parental warning. If you have children in the room, you might want to turn the radio down. This song is about the experience of being the tooth fairy.
Mm-hmm.
Melody, you lost your tooth the other night, and I only had a 20 on me. And Claire was in Wisconsin seeing her mom, cause she just had surgery. So after I tucked Melody into bed and waited a while till she was asleep, I put on my shoes and I left out the back and walked to the liquor store. No, I just intended to break my 20 so I'd have a dollar to put under her pillow. I figured a six pack of High Life would do the trick as well as a candy bar would. So back to the house with a six pack in hand, a 10 and a 1 in my wallet. I snuck through the back door to Melody's room. I found her bed empty. Well, I said her name and I turned on the light. Panicked and shouting, I searched through the house. And just as I thought I should call the police, I heard Melody through the window. And I ran out the front door as she turned to me, her bare little feet on the street. And through her sobbing, she asked me, "Where did you go? Where did you go, Dad? I couldn't find you."
That is Advanced Bass here live at Jefferson Public Radio. Oh, yeah, I think it fits. It's so sweet. So sad and sweet.
Thanks.
That was called Melody's Tooth. Okay, I lost my train of thought. I was so lost in that Tooth Fairy song. I read you were scheduled to play a show in Ashland a few years ago, back in the great year of 2020.
Yeah.
You played a show in Portland, and then like the day before you were supposed to be down here, the pandemic hit, things
That's
got
right.
shut down.
Yeah, March of 2020. Yeah.
Well, welcome back
Thank
to the West Coast. Glad to have you here.
Glad to be
and,
here.
You know, it's a question we've asked a lot of artists touring through, but everyone's, you know, it hit everyone similarly and differently. How did it feel to be back touring again, and how has that shifted things for you?
I feel like I've come back to touring with it's a very different sense of gratitude. Realized how much performing music was just kind of had become an essential part of my emotional life, and it's absolutely the way I kind of have community and process a lot of feelings and confusion. And having those 2 years where I wasn't performing in front of people, I was really wrestling with what music meant to me. And I didn't really know again until I started performing again. It's just, I think I'd probably have to join a cult if I wasn't doing this, because it's a really important part of my life. I've been playing music in front of people since my early 20s. I'm 47 now, and it's just kind of part of my routine. It's just one of those habits that's just so baked into the core of my life at this point.
Not only are you a performing musician, but as someone who's not, I'm not proficient in any kind of gear or technology, I don't play an instrument, I assume people who are playing music through instruments like yourself are proficient at technology and gear, but what I'm trying to say is production. So, am I right that you are your own engineer? You produce and engineer your own music as well?
To the extent of what I perform live, yeah. Uh-huh. I perform on my own, using a lot of different synthesizers and pedals and samplers. I usually have the help of an engineer when it comes time to making a record.
Yeah.
It's nice to have another pair of ears on the final product, because I don't always trust myself. But yeah, I feel like what comes out of the live performances is a pretty personal expression. Yeah.
And can you tell me a little bit about Ordinal Records and what that's like being an artist and then also working with other artists on their careers?
Sure. Yeah. I started the label in 2011 after having worked with other record labels for over a decade and asking a lot of annoying questions about, you know, every step of the production process and everything. And when I started Advanced Bass, after I had finished or retired a previous music project called Casio Tone for the Painfully Alone, and starting Advanced Bass, I just kind of wanted to control every aspect of the production. So I started a label, developed relationships with manufacturers and music writers and distributors. And once I had kind of built up a little bit of an infrastructure, I realized that I was in a position to help other musicians. Starting the label and this project sort of also coincided with starting a family. And with having spent most of my 20s and early 30s touring, I was looking for a way to stay productive in music from home. So the label and Advanced Bass both kind of represented like a home base and more of like sort of like a, you know, a permanent address and like a steady headquarters. And running my own distribution and label was part of that. And I realized helping other musicians who were touring and, you know, needed records to sell on the road, it made sense just to make the label a more cooperative, inclusive place. Community is kind of built around the label. Had some really great luck releasing records for a few friends early on, and you know, the capital from those sales were able to pay for more production. And the label at this point has grown to 25, 26 artists, I think, have sort of evolved in, you know, to various degrees. But we're coming up on our 80th release later this year. And Karima has released some of her music through the label. But most of the other artists are musicians I've met on tour, you know, played shows with and, you know, have had personal relationships with, and realize that, you know, coming from a similar kind of, you know, ethical standpoint or similar expectations of what our relationship with music is. It's a nice community is kind of developed around the label.
Very cool. Speaking of sense of place, I'd love to hear from both of you what, you know, you're on tour now, but what does playing at home look like? Do you play at home, or was when you're home kind of, recording and planning what you're going to go out and do on the road, or do you play many home shows? And what's playing out in Chicago like?
Chicago is such a rich musical history, and it feels like such a vast musical community. There's so many genres, and I feel like there's a lot of interconnectedness with music scenes, where like jazz players are playing with heavy metal people are playing with like folk musicians, and it feels really rich and supportive. And there are so many venues, there are so many shows happening every night. I feel really lucky to be part of such a like, vibrant musical community.
And that all feels, that multitude feels synergistic rather than competitive.
For me, yeah. I'm sure there. I feel like I've kind of aged out of a lot of my sense of competition. As a younger musician, I feel like I was creating from a more insecure place, where I don't know. I don't feel like I'm competing with people anymore, and I know other musicians who feel that way. It feels supportive from my perspective. And most of the shows I play locally are when touring musicians are coming through, like friends, and they're looking for like a local support to, you know, help get people out to the show. So when I'm playing shows, it's mostly because I'm playing with another musician who I'm very excited to help introduce Chicago, you know, to Chicago and introduce Chicago to.
Interesting. And Karima, could you paint us a picture of the music scene where you're at in Tucson?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a funny situation now. I'm actually in school in Phoenix, like 100 miles north of Tucson. But over the past year or past few years, the music scene in Tucson has really grown and shifted. And there are a ton of new spaces opening up, people trying out different things, like lots of stuff happening in kind of more experimental avenues, like live scoring films, or, you know, people doing video, or having like a silence gathering, or like a drone gathering, or just people like new spaces opening up, new ideas. It feels like a really exciting time to be playing in Tucson right now. Yeah.
That's really interesting to hear about both of your backgrounds. We have time for one more song. Would you like to wrap up with something?
Sure, great. This is another advanced bass song called The Only Other Girl from Back Home, and it's about college towns. Most of the snow melted, it's just lumps of ice and plastic bags strewn in the yard. Well, I'd go and get us a bottle of wine, but I'm pretty sure that they card. Lansing is ugly, it smells like a bus, but it's better than where we came from. And you're the only girl I can talk to. You're the only other girl from back home. You got a job, and you got me one too. We hated our jobs pretty bad, but there was this one boy we both thought was cute. This Hesher dishwasher named Chad. And I took him home, knowing you liked him first. And you cussed me out on the phone. And now you won't even talk to me. And you're the only other girl from back home. Into Case Man an hour ago. He was just passing through town, and he said this junior took gasoline cans, and she burned our old high school down. I ran to find you, I looked everywhere, though you said to leave you alone. You're the one person that I thought should know. You're the only other girl from back home. You're the one single person I wanted to tell. We're the only two girls from back home.
That is Advanced Bass, or Owen Ashworth, here live at Jefferson Public Radio. Also in the studio, Karima Walker. Before we sign off, I just wanna talk a little bit about that Omnicord. I've never seen one before. Yeah. There we've got keys and samples and pedals over here. And is it safe to say that at the show tonight, if they make it to the Ashland Fellowship show tonight, they would get a little taste of this Omnicord?
Sure, I can give a very brief demonstration.
Oh, I would be delighted. I'm sure the listeners would be too. There'll be pictures on our website later. And on our social media, you can follow JPR Music. We'll get photos of it for them as well.
Sure. Yeah. So the instrument is called an Omnicord. It's made by a company called Suzuki that also makes motorcycles, strangely. And it's basically a digital version of an auto harp, where it has chord buttons and there is a chord drone that you can fade in and out, and then there's this strum plate for the harp function where you can basically strum a chord like an auto harp, but it being an electronic instrument, it lends itself well to incorporating it with other electronic instruments. Bjork famously used one to great effect. But yeah, there's kind of the very, very unique sound, and that they kind of lends itself to, you know, ambient sort of soundscapes and things like that. But
sure. How did you find this one? How did it find its way to you?
I found it. I've had a few of them over the years. This one I found in a thrift store, maybe around 2005 or so. They sure get a lot of attention. This is the number one question I get whenever I pull it out at shows. Like, what the hell is that instrument? Because it's kind of shaped like a tennis racket. It doesn't really sound like anything else, so yeah.
Yeah, and it's, you mentioned before, they're out of production. It's sort of a hidden treasure if you find one.
Well, I have not seen one for myself, but apparently Suzuki has gotten wise to the resurgence in interest, and they're reissuing a very expensive new version, like a boutique version. So apparently, I don't know if they're available yet. I haven't seen them. But yeah, I mean, you can kind of find them on, you know, the secondary market, and I've seen the prices go from 100 when I got mine to, you know, $700 or $800, $900.
You listeners can see Owen play this Omnichord tonight at the Ashland Fellowship in Ashland tonight. Tickets on the show are at bandsintown.com. Opening the show is Karima Walker. What's the best way before we say goodbye for listeners to follow you and support you? It's karimawalker.com. Is that correct? And advancebassmusic.com?
Yes. Also, Orindal is the label, Orindal.com. You'll find links to Karima's music, my music, and, you know, 20-plus other weird artists like ourselves.
Beautiful. Thank you so much. Thanks for coming in. Have a wonderful show. Have a wonderful rest of your tour, everybody.
Thank you so much for having us.
This JPR Live session is made possible with the help of the Talent Club, serving cold drinks and great music in a casual atmosphere in downtown Talent, Oregon. Find their live music schedule at talentclublive.com. Find this and our past live sessions archived on our website, ijpr.org, later today and wherever you listen to your podcasts. This session has been engineered by John Griffin of Lunazen Studios. I'm your host, Danielle Kelly. Open air will continue right after this.